Morning.
It's lovely to chat to people, isn't it? You can carry on afterwards. Right, I'm doing the reading from Proverbs. It's on the Church Bible, page 645. And it's chapter 11, 23 to 28. The desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath. One man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. As generous man will prosper, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. People curse the man who hoards grain, but blessings crown him who is willing to sell. He who seeks good finds goodwill, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And I'll pray in just a moment, but as the music group return to their seats, just a quick question for you that should appear hopefully on the screens. What's your favourite proverb? Yes, those little pithy, wise sayings might seem somewhat dated, and yet they do tend to shed some interesting light on life today. Often rhythmic and rhyming, some symmetry. I wonder what yours is. Well, as we approach the book of Proverbs, let's now pray for our time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chance to look at your word. We pray that you will help us to see what it says, but also to see what it says for our lives today. Amen. I wonder if you've thought of your proverb. Was it any of these? Maybe, maybe not. Perhaps they're too small for you to see. Well, I particularly enjoy going to a National Trust property called Ascot. It's near Leighton Buzzard. If any of you are members and haven't been, I thoroughly recommend it. Stunning gardens in particular. But in the common room, yes, this is called the common room. It's a bit smart. But in the common room, there are proverbs all the way around the top. Some show the building's age and a little non-PC. But here are a few of the proverbs that appear around the walls of the common room. I'm going to take the last one just to have a think. Because as we approach the book of Proverbs, it's crammed full of these short, pithy sayings. But it's important that we interpret them in the right way. So take, look before you leap. Do we take it literally? This only applies to leaping. Well, then it's not relevant to much of life, is it? Look before you leap. No. We realize that this is applicable to so much more than just the act of leaping, which, let's be honest, how many of us have done much leaping in the last week, year, even longer? No. But this is about something more than that. And this is important because when it comes to Proverbs, and I throw up lots of verses, and you go, but I'm not a farmer. Yeah, but it's relevant to so much more. And that's the thing of a proverb. You then apply it. So this is about, I need to think about the consequences before I take action. Do I need to do that every time I do anything? Probably not. It's a lesson that I am going to apply in life. There are times in which I make a perfectly good leap decision, and I haven't really looked. I've just done it. But my guess is when we're driving, we do want to look before you leap. Get to a junction, they're not going to drive straight out, am I? I'm going to look before I progress. So as we look at these different proverbs, let's think how they apply to our lives, even if at first glance you're going to go, I don't do a lot of leaping or I don't do a lot of what this says. And as Nick said, we are thinking about money, and you might be going, oh, I turn up to church and that's the last thing I want to think about. I mean, this month has been horrendous, hasn't it? I mean, Bills soaring, energy costs. Go to the supermarket and every time you go, the price has gone up. You think about stockpiling because you think, well, at least it's saved whatever. It's going to be more next week. And then you go to the cooking oil and that's all gone as well. It's a little bit tricky. And you think, oh, I don't need any more money from in church. And surely if I do want to think about money, I'm going to go somewhere useful and relevant. I mean, I'll go to Martin Lewis and Money Saving Expert. I mean, that might give me some guidance on switching energy tariffs or mortgage rates or insurance. I mean, the book of Proverbs, really? Well, interestingly, Love Money did an article on the richest people in history. And the writer of much of Proverbs, Solomon, came in at number 5 with a wealth that peaked at £1.4 trillion. To put that in context, that is more than Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett, Alan Sugar, and Elon Musk's wealth combined. Solomon knew quite a lot about money. And so today, we are going to be whizzing around all over Proverbs. Now, I would say pick up your Bibles, but I'm going to say don't. Well, you can try, but if you keep up, you have done brilliantly. Because we're going to have about 46 different verses. They will all be on the screen. They are taken from Bible Gateway, so slightly different words occasionally. And I'm not going to read them all. They've got the references, but if I was to read them all, do the references, we'd be here in lunchtime. So, we're going to look a whiz through money in Proverbs and what Solomon and others have said. And there are 4 key themes, and here's the first one. Money is good when the product of honest hard work. Now, this might fall into the blindingly obvious category, but it's important to state because there are some people that think that money is bad, even evil. And they might even try and quote the Bible saying that money is the root of all evil. But it's a misquote because 1 Timothy 6 verse 10 actually says it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. Proverbs is actually very clear that money is good. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. And money brings about advantages in life. The rich have many friends. It's a bit worrying that the poor are shunned. I hope we're not doing that. I hope we're not applying that one completely. But wealth clearly does attract many friends. And in fact, having money means that we can endure the more difficult times. The ultra-rich are probably not so worried this month with the rise in energy bills and inflation. And hence, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. Wealth is definitely an advantage. Proverbs 40, the wealth of the wise is their crown. And those who have money, and actually that's all of us actually, we should recognize that everything comes from the Lord. Everything comes from him. Well, Proverbs also tells us how to make money. And you might be thinking, okay, that's what I need to know. Well, bottom line, work hard. Work hard, whether it be school, college, get good results, develop a character that's the opposite of the sluggard. Look how the sluggard or lazy person is compared to the person who works hard. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. Similarly, Proverbs 12, it's the diligent who feed on the riches of the hunt. And in Proverbs 30, we take the example of the ants that store up for the winter and work hard. And their example is picked out as an example for us. And then again, it's those who work the land. Yes, okay, we don't work the land, but it's those who work who will have abundant food. But the contrast, those who chase fantasies have no sense. Fantasies, literally dreams, wild, unrealistic dreams. No, Proverbs says money is about hard work. And not just hard work, but honest hard work. And hence it says dishonest money dwindles away. So which would we rather have? Well, money or a good name? Wealth or wisdom? Because a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Integrity matters more. Honesty matters more than making money. And so if we value money more than righteousness, we're going to fall into a temptation. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth and turmoil. And thereby riches can be and must be part of a godly life. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. And so the big theme that runs through Proverbs is applicable here. And we mustn't move from it, that it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. This phrase comes 20 times through the book and directly applicable to money. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. And what is wisdom? The fear of the Lord, that rightful respect. So firstly, money is good when it's the product of honest, hard work. But money also presents dangers, including my 5 C's. You see, money isn't bad itself, but it does present some money traps, a little bit like mouse traps. Now, I went and I got the mouse trap that's behind our kitchen cabinets, which has been full at times. I was quite relieved today that it was empty as I brought it here. Now, here I put in raisins. Some people put cheese. Now, trust me, neither the cheese nor the raisins are bad. A bit like money, they're good. But the problem is, this is trying to lure the mouse into the mouse trap. And that's the thing. Money can be good, but it can lure us into a money trap. And so let's have a look at these 5 money traps. Well, the first one, our first danger, is when money becomes number one. In other words, when our confidence is in our money. This was in our reading. Those who trust in their riches will fall. And the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. They imagine it a wall too high to scale. No, trust me, money is not that. And then cast but a glance at riches and they are gone. Solomon was the one who this was particularly applicable to. When his son was king, Rehoboam, it was all gone. Most of it nicked by Pharaoh Necho of Egypt. But Solomon's great wealth, gone in an instant. And so having confidence in money is not right. It's a danger. It's a mouse trap or a money trap. And secondly, conflict. The greedy stir up conflict. Somebody who's greedy and desires more, well, they tend to overreach. They tend to push things and it results in conflict. My guess is that you may have seen conflict as a result of money. I've seen it at first hand in my family and it was terrible. Money brings about conflict. And another danger we've got is that of corruption. And it says the Lord detests dishonest scales. You might go, well, I don't use scales, it's okay. Well, trust me, Proverbs is onto something. It even repeats this. The Lord detests differing weights. Basically, what it's saying is corrupt business practices are detestable. The Hebrew literally says an abomination. So, when we're trying to sell something on Facebook Marketplace or eBay or selling a car, we don't try and cover up what is wrong. That's exactly what this is talking about. Dishonest practices. In business, we don't try and change what is true to being something that is untrue to try and get a better sale or a better price. That's a corrupt practice, which God detests. And so, not surprisingly, it's deemed that it's a wicked person that earns deceptive wages. The result of it? Well, it might initially taste sweet, but in the end, one ends up with a mouth full of gravel. Just imagine that. A mouth full of gravel, it's disgusting. Yuck! And that's what Proverbs says is the result of corrupt money. And so, ill-gotten treasures have no lasting value, but righteousness delivers from death. Well, another danger from our reading is that of control. Money can control both others and us. So people curse the one who hoards grains. This was when people kept to themselves to get the price to go up for others. And so when we use our money to have a negative impact upon others, that is wrong. Bruce Walker, a commentator on Proverbs, said, "The righteous are willing to disadvantage themselves to advantage the community. The wicked are willing to disadvantage the community to advantage themselves." So we mustn't use money to control. It's wrong. And hence, he who oppresses the poor to increase his wealth, he who gives gifts to the rich, both come to poverty. But as well as controlling others, money can control us. Don't wear yourself out to get rich. J.D. Rockefeller, he came seventh in that rich list. He was once asked, "How much is enough?" And he answered, "A little more, a little more." There was a successful businessman who was on holiday, a beach holiday, and he saw a little bit along the beach, a fisherman got his boat up, and he was just relaxing on the beach, doing nothing in particular. And the businessman said, "But hang on, why are you relaxing? Surely if you were to go out and fish again, you'd make more money, you'd perhaps then be able to get another boat, get some hire some people, you'd make enough money to be able to retire in comfort." The fisherman replied, "And then what?" And the businessman said, "Well, then you could relax on the beach," which was what he was doing. See, money is a good servant, but a terrible master. And so a faithful person will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished. So yearning for money is very dangerous. And money can also open up the dangers of careless, or I could say even crazy or criminal living. Have a look at what's picked up in these verses in terms of the love of pleasure, even spending time with prostitutes. You see, money can open up greater temptations, greater risks. And so that's why we conclude, better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a rich man whose ways are perverse. So, we've thought about how money is good. We've thought about how money opens up particular money traps. And thirdly and fourthly, much shorter, money has limits. You see, even knowing the last two, we need to acknowledge that money has a limit. Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. In other words, the day of wrath, it can either be a day of tragedy or difficulty, or it's the day of judgment. In either case, you can have all the money in the world, and it's not going to help. J.D. Rockefeller's accountant was asked how much money he left behind. He replied, "All of it." You see, none of us will be able to pile our money before God on judgment day and go, "Let me into heaven because of my money." It's not going to work. But also, it's worth noting that money has a limit in that it can actually be a bit of a headache. A person's riches may ransom their life. Now, this was here because in those days, it was easier to get robbed or extorted if you had money. But even today, we can lose money, whether it be the stock market, a bad investment, and that can produce stress and all the problems associated with it. If you've got less, you've got less to lose. If you've got more, you've got more to lose. So there's limits to what money can do. And finally, how does Proverbs say we should use our money? Well, we should plan, we should save, and we should give generously. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance. But everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. In other words, fools, they're the ones that leap before looking. They're the ones that just sort of throw their money away rashly. Proverbs says, actually, we should plan. We should plan carefully and cautiously. But what should we be planning for? Well, partly we should be saving. Why? Well, Proverbs 13, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Talk to anyone who knows things about money and they'll talk about the importance of compounded interest, investing early in life so you can double again. Proverbs talks about saving. But there's a good reason why Proverbs talks about planning and saving. It's so that we can do things with our money. And in particular, to pass it on and pass it on to our family and children. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. And houses and wealth are inherited from parents. Yeah, it's right. Proverbs commends passing our money on to our family. But it also says that we should give generously. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Literally, it's saying somebody who scatters their money almost recklessly in giving gains more. It's counterintuitive. Common sense that holding on to what we have is the sure way to wealth. But this is saying actually the more we give, the wealthier we'll be. Not necessarily in terms of our bank balance, but in terms of how we are, how we feel. We know that our money has been a benefit to others. And that correlates with God and his interest, because this theme runs through the book. Look at this. Whoever is kind to the needy is honoring God. And whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. That giving is not for us, but for him. And therefore, the generous will themselves be blessed because of what they've done. And there is a flip side as well. The stingy person. Yes, a stingy man is eager to get rich and is unaware of the poverty that awaits. So we should practice generosity to honor God and thank him for his good gifts. We should plan to protect our worldly pleasures. Yes, we should save to prepare for the days ahead and for our children, but we should be radically generous in how we use our money. Well, those are the four key themes from Proverbs on money. That it's good, particularly the product of honest hard work. That money does bring about dangers. Any of those when we place our confidence in it. When greediness can lead to conflict. When we're tempted to use corrupt means. When it can control us or others. Or even lead to careless living. It's got its limits. We're told to use it wisely. But my conclusion is, not quite ignore everything I've said, but actually don't focus on money, having talked about it. Yeah. Proverbs actually finishes by saying that we should think of something other than money. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get insight rather than silver. And of course, what's wisdom? The fear of the Lord, that true understanding of that right respect of who God is and what he has done for us. How much better to get that than gold? Hence, better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. And if we do have money, honor the Lord with our money, our wealth. And as Jesus himself said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So yes, Proverbs has a lot to say about money and what we should do and how it's good and what the dangers are. But ultimately, despite the amount that it says about money, the key point is don't focus on it. Focus instead upon the Lord. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that Proverbs does say about money, of how it can be good. Yes, there are dangers that we need to be aware of, that there are limits, and yet we can use our money so well, so wisely, for the benefit of others. But Lord, we also know that actually money is not the be-all or end-all. Instead, it's you and our fear, our understanding, our respect of you. Lord, we pray that our treasure will be you and our heart will be set upon you rather than upon worldly wealth. Amen.